Welcome to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Pamela and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Harshman Travel Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. You might have a chance of working with them in their business ventures and your travel plan. So listen in and enjoy the journey. Now on to our Building Fortunes Radio Show with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Let's get started, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's a Friday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and every Friday at this time we do a radio show for Harshman Travel. You want to go to harshmantravel.com for all of your travel needs. Check them out. Sign up for the newsletter. Check out their website. They got really cool stuff going on. And the way this started on Building Fortunes Radio was a long time ago, Pam Harshman, who's one of the owners of Harshman Travel, was a customer of ours on the PM marketing side when we were doing the home-based business stuff. And when I was expanding our platform, because I wanted really great people to have microphones to be able to talk about stuff that they were working on, I asked Pam to be one of our guest hosts. And I thought she'd be great because she was such a good person as far as a leader, hard worker. She dotted her I's, crossed her T's. She always asked the questions that most people wouldn't ask, and she was following through. And I knew the way she was working with her people that she'd be great if somebody were looking for a home-based business. So when I asked her to be part of the Building Fortunes Radio platform, she said, you know, Peter, thanks, but I'm not thinking so. And I said, why? And she said, because we're not going to be doing that home-based business stuff anymore like that traditional MLM stuff. We're going to become travel agents. So I had to think a little bit, and I said, you know, wait a minute. People in home-based businesses, part of their wish lists are to travel. Their bucket lists are to travel. Lots of people just love to travel. If there's one thing that people would want to do more, it would be to travel. And I said, what a better way to be able to kind of, you know, promote your travel agency as well as help our customers, and I'm sure you're going to bring your head with you wherever you go. So let's do it. So we started doing these radio shows, and this is one of our longest-running radio shows. Now, when she was doing the MLM stuff, she was doing it with the support of her husband, Ron Harshman, who's the other part of Harshman Travel, but he wasn't really a big MLMer guy. But when she started to do the travel agent, they made a collective decision that they wanted to do it together. So Ron's been here being able to help get some really cool information in front of you for traveling. Now, you'll hear, as we go through the first half of our radio show, my excitement and enthusiasm for working with them, because they're going to share with you their backgrounds. What you'll learn about Ron is he was previously like a head doctor. That's my word for it. So I get a lot of free opinions based on him being here for his travel agency. So it saves me, I don't know, $400 or $500 an hour, you know, prorated for the 5 minutes that we talked before the radio show. But the cool thing about it is they are here. They are able to help you wherever you go. They probably would have advised you from taking a submersible submarine trip. They probably would have talked you out of it. Or they would have made sure you were fully insured because you know that's the way it works. And I'm going to stop even talking about that stuff as we introduce Pam Harshman and Ron Harshman on Building Fortunes Radio. We always go ladies first. So, Pam, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Thanks for having us, Peter. And if nothing else, we would have supplied you with a very, very good life vest.
That's right. Absolutely. And good insurance.
And good insurance. Correct. Anyway, a little bit about my background. I started my working years as a 911 dispatcher up in the Pacific Northwest. Did that for several years and slow but sure worked myself up into court administration. Absolutely loved my job. However, a little glitch in there is I met my husband, and he happened to live down in sunny Florida, kind of opposite kitty corner of the state. And it wasn't long before I joined him down here. And once down here, however, I did not want to start down at the bottom of the ladder or anywhere close. So I was kind of looking around for something that I could do that would be allow me to work more independently and hopefully from home. So I ended up getting my realtor's license followed by my broker's license and sold real estate in South Florida for several years. Just kind of woke up one day and it just was not my niche. And so I went and got my life and health insurance license and sold Medicare supplements to the senior population. Absolutely loved it, loved going to visit the seniors. I could tell all kinds of stories. They had nothing short of tea parties set up with pie or cookies and iced tea and all that with friends there. And, you know, I never knew what to expect. That was the big thing. However, I really felt good about what I was doing. It was very fulfilling because as we get older, you know, the body starts breaking down and all the rest of that good stuff. So a decision about your health care for the rest of your life is really one of the most important decisions that a senior has to face. And it felt good that I was able to give them the information they needed to make a decision that was good for them. At the same time, I was getting these carrots dangling in front of my eyes on my Facebook newsfeed about MLMs, home-based businesses. And as you alluded to earlier, I was a customer of yours when I did join some of those. I had some winners, but I had a couple losers in there as well. But I certainly learned a whole lot. One of the things was being able to put together our Harshman Travel website, and that was kind of a challenge, but I had a whole crew that was helping me through it, and it was a very good experience with the home-based businesses. One day when I was out doing my calls, I got a call from a girlfriend that out of nowhere, she just asked me if Ron and I had ever thought of becoming travel agents, and it was kind of a shocker because it hadn't been even a week that Ron and I were talking about, you know, wanting to travel. Our health was good. We were empty nester baby boomers. We had some disposable income, and really both of us could fluctuate our schedule to accommodate travel. So we had been kicking around each other's bucket lists and where we wanted to go first. So when she brought that up, it was like almost a light bulb went on, and I couldn't wait to get home and talk to Ron. And once I did, we did some research on the internet, weighed the pros and cons, and ultimately jumped in and got all of the training that we could get our hands on, as well as all the proper licensures. And in the long run, we have certainly done a whole lot more traveling than we ever would have done otherwise. And at the same time, we've been helping a lot of people stretch their travel dollars and be here for them when they've run into bumpy patches. That was until COVID hit, which COVID kind of just totally squashed the whole travel industry. I mean, everything was at a complete standstill. But we are coming back. We're coming back very strong. We ourselves have several trips planned, and people can go to our website and check on the left side where it says upcoming trips, and some of them are for groups, but anybody is welcome to join us on any of it or their own plans as well. Give us a call, and that's at harshmantravel.com. But, yep, we're looking forward to our first cruise, and I cannot wait. I'm chomping at the bit to get back traveling again.
Excellent. And, Ron, over to you.
Alrighty, thanks, Peter. Good to be here with you again. My background is very different from Pam's. I spent many, many years as a licensed clinical psychologist, very heavily involved, obviously, in my own clinical work, my own clinical practice, but also chose to get pretty deeply involved in the whole self-regulatory aspect of the profession, When I first started out, a very good friend of mine, a mentor, strongly suggested that it would be a good idea for me to become involved, at least first in the provincial association, and then eventually she talked me into getting into the national association, the Canadian Psychological Association. I was fortunate to be elected as chair of the applied division of the Canadian Psych. Spent many years on the board of directors, sitting on different ethics boards, professional affairs committees, representing the Canadian Association with the sister association here in the States, and really very, very heavily involved in that aspect of the profession. Very honored near the end of my professional career to be elected as a lifetime honorary fellow of the Canadian Psychological Association. So it was a good experience. In terms of my own clinical practice, I was very fortunate to, both in my undergraduate and my graduate training, to have a number of professors who made a very strong argument that if we were thinking of going into private practice at any point, prior to doing that, it would be extremely important to gather as much varied clinical information and experience as we could, working with different clinical populations, because they made the very valid point that when you do go into private practice, you let people know you're seeing patients, you advertise in the Yellow Pages or wherever, but you really don't have a whole lot of control over who calls you up to make an appointment, what their life situation is, what the problems are that they are facing. And if you have not had experience working in that particular clinical area, they made the very strong point that you end up doing a lot more damage than good for these people. And that really struck a chord for me. And I made sure that just starting in my working career, even as an undergrad, that I wanted to gain as much varied experience as I could, and ended up working for pretty much every one of the social service delivery systems before venturing into private practice. Once I got involved in private practice, I felt very good about the training that I'd received, very competent to deal with whoever called, whatever the situation was, but ended up specializing primarily in the family law area, doing a lot of work in child custody disputes. And I was very fortunate because at the time I was working in Canada, and in Canada the Divorce Act is a piece of federal legislation, which means that all divorces in Canada are handled at the Supreme Court level across the country. And that translates into a lot more formality, a lot more regimentation, a lot more consistency. And what was fortunate is that around the same time that I started getting heavily involved in that arena, the justices from the Supreme Courts across the country in Canada, who have a very, very strong collegial relationship, they meet every semi-annually for conferences and always come back with major decisions having been made in terms of practice and policy, etc. And the year that I got started getting heavily involved in child custody disputes, up until that time, there was almost a pre-drawn conclusion that for child custody disputes in divorce actions where there was a young couple involved, young kids involved, the courts almost always gave custody to mommy and visitation to daddy. And although that was a good situation in many cases, we started seeing more and more cases where not only was it not a good decision, but it was a very destructive and harmful one. And the justices came back from their Banff conference that year saying that going forward, any decisions made in the courts regarding child custody and access in divorce actions had to be based on the psychological best interests of the children involved. And obviously that was a very wise decision, a very correct decision. The interesting thing was, though, that at that time there was no standardized, consistent way of the courts being able to evaluate or get information about the psychological best interests of the children. So it was an opportunity, and I was one of a fairly small group of practitioners. We ended up with the birth of two new subspecialties, one in the field of clinical social work and one in the field of clinical psychology, where practitioners who wanted to get involved in that field got together, and we put together a standardized approach to doing a custody investigation, who should be interviewed, what kinds of things should be looked at, and how decisions should be made about the clinical best interest of the children involved, and even how to present those messages and those opinions in court. So it was very rewarding work, very heavy work, but I felt very good about my involvement in that whole arena. In any event, after Pam and I got together, we weren't together that long when we decided to semi-retire. We moved from Southeast Florida over to Southwest Florida, started raising alpacas. As Pam indicated, she started getting involved in home-based businesses, multi-level marketing. And although I wasn't involved in that with her, I was certainly fully supportive of her being involved in that. And when she came home, though, and said she really wanted us to talk seriously about the possibility of becoming professional travel consultants, it was a thing that really struck both of us as the right move for us to make. We did a lot of research, decided that if we were going to do it, we would do it the right way. We would not only get the proper training and licensure, but we would also invest the time and the funds to find those vendors that we felt comfortable working with and representing. And it's worked out to be a very good move for us. As Pam indicated, we have ended up doing a lot more travel than we ever would have been able to had we not become travel consultants. And we've certainly helped many, many people make the most out of their travel, the time, and money. It just seemed like a good move for us to make, and we jumped in both feet and very, very pleased to see the recovery that's being made in the travel industry generally and in the cruise industry specifically after the total debacle that was brought about by primarily the U.S. government with the whole COVID explosion. As Pam indicated, it pretty well crippled the travel industry, and in my own personal opinion, I believe that the government here did its best to cripple permanently the cruise industry, but thankfully they were not successful. The masters in that industry, the major players, made the commitment to get through it all, and they are definitely coming back bigger and stronger than ever before. And we've reported on many, many evidences of that over the past weeks, and this week is no different. We've got a lot of things happening.
Excellent. Okay, good. So we're going to take a little quick commercial break. Go to harshmantravel.com while you're waiting. You can sign up for the newsletter, and we'll be back with Ron giving us some good news right after this commercial break.
You've been listening to the Ideal Network Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingle.
I should
this
not
special
put
segment
in my
can
eyes.
Be heard again
Hold
anytime
on.
With almost any device by going to BuildingFortunesRadio.com.
That's the wrong commercial.
www.BuildingFortunesFortunesRadio.com.
Here's the one you want.
Here's
the one we want. That's okay.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. This special segment can be heard again with almost any device connected to the Internet by going to BuildingFortunesRadio.com. That's www.BuildingFortunesRadio.com. Listen in often and get to know Pam and Ron. Go to the BuildingFortunesRadio.com website to listen in to the show. No matter where you're at in life, you can benefit by listening to and by working with Pam and Ron. Let them book your next cruise, vacation getaway, or group event. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio and witness their ability to pursue their dreams in the field they love. Thanks for listening. And now, back to the Harshman Travel Radio Show.
You are back with the Mr. Magoo of pushing buttons for commercials on Building Fortunes Radio. We are here with Harshman Travel. We're going to go over Ron's new news or the good news on the second half. So go ahead, Ron.
All righty. Thanks, Peter. A lot of interesting announcements coming out from various companies this week that I wanted to share with people. It certainly looks as if the luxury yacht industry is really coming back very, very strong. Emerald Cruises just announced that they are going to have a second yacht with their ocean-going fleet, and they are under construction now. The Emerald Sakara is scheduled to enter service in August, and a sister to the ship that started in early 2022. This is a 10,000-ton vessel, 100 guests, a crew of 76, and they are really specializing primarily in the Mediterranean area. They will be in the Eastern Mediterranean during their inaugural season. Their maiden program includes a series of itineraries covering the Ionian Sea, the Greek islands, the Croatian coast, the Adriatic, Italy, Turkey, and more. And they are really setting up some very, very interesting itineraries. And they say that they're designed to offer a luxury product while cruising in warm waters. And just some of the things that they will have on this new ship: wellness center with infrared sauna and gym, selection of dining venues, as well as a pool deck, several bars and lounges. We announced a while ago that Four Seasons was going into the yacht business, and they started with their first vessel. They've just announced the signing of a contract for a second vessel worth more than 400 million euros, and it is scheduled to be delivered in 2026. This is a 180-guest ship, and again, very clearly indicating that the extra luxury aspect of the cruise industry is very, very strong and certainly growing when you see some of these major players with major, major investments throwing more and more into their ventures. And obviously they've done the research. They have the findings to prove that this is the direction they want to go. And we will certainly see some major developments in that arena. Royal Caribbean had a couple of interesting announcements this week. Their Utopia of the Seas is a new ship that will be in the short cruise market, based in Port Canaveral. It will be coming out next year, and they are basically saying, with a variety of dining, bars, pools, entertainment, and thrills that make Oasis-class ships revolutionary, they are really looking at, again, in the Caribbean, particularly providing a lot of new itineraries, again, taking advantage of their own private Coco Bay. The Icon of the Seas, we've talked about that before on the show. That's the biggest ship that has been built so far, and will be coming out next year. They announced that they just completed their first round of sea trials, and it's interesting to hear the amount of hours and people that are involved in testing these ships long before the first passenger steps aboard. I'm just going to read a part of their announcement. Over 450 workers on board conducted preliminary assessments of the ship's main engines, hull, lifeboats, thrusters, among others, according to their press release. over 2,000 specialists, 350 hours of work, and hundreds of nautical miles traveled were needed to bring the world's largest ship to this milestone. It will depart for the second set of sea trials later this year, ahead of the ship's debut in January of 24, when it does its maiden voyage, going round trip from Miami the end of January 2024. So Royal Caribbean is certainly making some heavy moves. Norwegian came out with a couple of interesting announcements this week also. They have been known throughout the years of having some pretty solid onboard entertainment. They have done a very good job of putting together a number of shows that have really lasted for a while and have been available pretty much on, you know, a number of the Norwegian ships. So you can go on different ships, see the same show, different players, et cetera, et cetera. But they made the announcement that they are going to be canceling a good number of their shows, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, seven different shows are going to be scrapped as they made the commitment to do some major changes in the type of entertainment that they are going to be providing. And they are not giving out a whole lot of information about it, but they are saying that they are, quote, elevating the offerings to exceed the expectations of the company's guests. So they have really made the commitment, and we'll see how that works out for them. But it's a bit of a surprise because, like I said, they have long been known for the consistency of their entertainment on board, and people have really looked forward to seeing shows over and over again with different casts, etc. Another announcement from them is that they are sending the Norwegian Spirit to Asia in 2024. This is the ship that was supposed to spend the summer in Alaska, and they are now going to Taiwan. They were going to be offering 26 voyages offered between Japan and South Korea, and their sales will be opening soon, and I'm sure that, as usual, those will be sold out quickly. Carnival Cruise Line had an interesting announcement. They have, for a number of years, had a program for college students. It was called Internship at Sea. And what they provided was an internship program that allowed college students to come on board, work with their shipboard team members, and since the program started, there have been a number of students, over 60 students have participated on 20 ships, and several of the past interns have utilized the knowledge and experience from the program to start careers in the cruise industry, from cruise director to shoreside project manager. And they were in 2019, that program was recognized by Way Up, which is a U.S.-based job site for college students. It was recognized as one of the top 100 internship programs available in the country. The program was paused in 2020 because of COVID, but they have reintroduced it, and that was a nice announcement to come from there. Cruise the St. Lawrence, up in Canada, has made the announcement that they have signed a contract with Ponant, which is an escapade company or expedition company, I should say, and they are going to be putting together programs on the St. Lawrence, and that will be winter cruises and international cruises throughout Quebec, and that was a very welcome announcement being made from a number of points of view. Taiwan International Ports announced that Costa will be returning to Asia, and they will be offering cruises to Japan starting in the fall of 2023. So once again, we are seeing expansion of the cruise industry, not just here in North America, but worldwide. And they announced that the port of, and I'm going to probably screw up this name, Kaohsiung, has already set an all-time record this year with 157 cruise ship calls as of May 28, including 27 port of call visits. So they are going to be sailing in September and October and going back to Taiwan. So again, we're seeing things happening there. Disney Cruise Line, I've talked before about how concerned I was that Disney Cruise Line was going to be sucked into the whole, what's the right way of putting it, fiasco of Disney going woke, but they have very positively stayed away, and that's been great. They received the Port of Vancouver Blue Circle Award for the 10th consecutive year, recognizing the cruise line's participation in the port's voluntary eco-action program and energy action initiative. So again, we're seeing some major accomplishments from Disney, and they are going with the liquefied natural gas and making plans to use green methanol on a newly acquired ship that will home port in Singapore in 2025. Another announcement, and I got time, I know I'm going over, but this announcement is certainly affecting or will affect Pam and myself, because Crystal Cruises has just announced that it will and has been named a preferred supplier to Travel Leaders Network, which is a luxury travel brand, and it is the owner of Our Host Agency, which means that we will be participating. And what the collaboration between Crystal and TLN will mean is that we will be able to really participate with what they are saying, exceptional voyages, world-class service, and offerings that has made Crystal an award-winning brand for several years. And TLN currently represents more than 5,700 travel agency locations across the United States and Canada, including Harshman Travel. So we're looking forward to getting announcements from them in terms of some of the special offerings that will be made and available only to TLN representatives. So lots going on, as usual. We're hearing from different aspects of the industry, and as Pam said, it's coming back bigger and stronger than ever before. I will repeat what I've said over the last several weeks. All of the cruise lines right now are offering really stupendous money-saving programs where anybody who is contemplating any kind of cruise, from a quick weekend getaway to a 240-day world cruise, is invited to get in touch with us and let us do the research and find the right match for you to make your cruise vacation dreams come true. Contact us through harshmantravel.com.
Excellent information. This boy, it seems before COVID started, we were talking about how big the cruise industry was starting to grow. And I might have to re-listen to some previous episodes, but the reality is I think they're even bigger than they were pre-COVID. I mean,
oh, very definitely.
They're really going for it.
Very, very definitely, Peter. Yep.
They're going for it.
What happened with COVID, and again, Pam will scream if we start getting very political, but I think what, in my opinion, this is my opinion only, but what I saw happening with COVID was particularly the American government, the U.S. government, was doing everything they could to totally cripple the cruise industry. They were putting restrictions on the cruise industry that far exceeded anything that they were doing, even in the rest of the travel industry. And I think what happened was it was showdown time. And the major, major players, I mean, the Royal Caribbean Group, NCL, Carnival Corporation, MSC, those are the four major players, made decisions that come hell or high water, they would survive. They went deeply into debt. They sold off ships. They did everything that they had to do. They complied with as many of the regulations as they possibly could. Some of them weren't bad. I mean, in all honesty, they did make some renovations to some of the ships that will, in the long run, make them healthier. But they made the commitment that they were going to survive and that they would not allow the intentional destruction to take place. And based on the commitment that they made, they now are in the position of being able to really, really multiply and come back much stronger, much bigger, much more innovative than they were before. And you're 100% correct in your observation that it's bigger and better than was even prognosticated pre-COVID.
Wow. So for those people, again, make sure you check them out. Go to harshmantravel.com, harshmantravel.com. Just as a side note, remember, you can book, if you will, a cruise. You can put a small down payment. You can pay it off as you go. And there's a great refund policy just in case something would happen. But you can start to book your cruises for 2024, 25, and if there are some, I guess, in 2026, you'll be able to do that whole thing all over again. And we will be back next week on Building Fortunes Radio. Pam, thanks for being here. Ron, thanks as usual. And we'll catch everybody next time. Thanks, everyone.
You have a good week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear previous radio shows with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.